From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this Thursday. Did you get out to the Special Shapes Mass Ascension? You know what? Not going to lie. Now, it's usually my favorite day of the Balloon Fiesta, and some got up off the ground. I was actually watching from the parking lot at Calvary Church Albuquerque, which, you know, we're just a little south of the field, and often the balloons actually blow this direction. But this morning I was a little disappointed. I didn't see more of the Special Shapes get up and get underway. But even still, a decent morning, a little bit breezy. I think that, you know, I didn't follow the coverage to know if it was the wind that kept more from taking off. But just, if you see the leaves fluttering a little bit, chances are you're not going to have maybe as good of an ascension as you would when it's a little more calm. But remember, on our website at klyt.fm, in the Action Center, you'll find the, just click on the balloons and it'll take you to their site, which is, by the way, balloonfiesta.com. And on the top of their page, especially if you're visiting from out of town, go to the Plan Your Visit tab and you'll find the event schedule. And of course, today, what are we, day six of the Balloon Fiesta. And a lot of people, even locals, don't realize, other than the balloons, there's more than that happening, you know, throughout the day, including at 3 o'clock this afternoon, they're doing the chainsaw carving exhibition. They'll be skydiving at 5 o'clock, 5:15. There's more entertainment from the main stage. The Glodio tonight, Special Shapes Glodio at 6:30. 7:30, the team fast tracks skydiving again, and the drone. I have not seen one of these drone shows yet live, but the drone light show starts at 7:45 tonight, and then the Afterglow fireworks show at 8 o'clock. Plenty of great family activity for you to enjoy. Go to our website to find that schedule. It's klyt.fm in the Action Center there. Click on the balloons and find all the information you need. A lot more than just the schedule as well. Descriptions about each of those events that we mentioned. In studio with us for the full hour today, Paul Gessing is here from the Rio Grande Foundation. Did you get down to the field yet this week, Paul?
I have not been to Balloon Fiesta, but I did make the Paul McCartney concert the
other
night.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I heard it started an hour late.
Yes.
Which didn't surprise me, even with the weather may have been part of that. But I was telling someone, imagine being him and just trying to navigate the world. Where do you go that people and things don't slow you down?
That's true. I don't know what exactly the cause was. I can tell you it worked to my benefit because there was a throng of people trying to get in to the show. And while I did get to my lawn seat in about 10 minutes advance of him starting the show, there was a lot of people trying to get into Isleta Amphitheater for that particular show. But it was absolutely fantastic, once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing to get to see one of the great performers of all time.
It's a bucket list, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you had the experience. And you're like me, regardless of the ticket price, or I'm a lawn seat guy. The sound is typically fine, and I don't need to pay more for moving forward, but I'm absolutely fine with those seats. Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, with the special session, there's plenty to talk about, including some of the bills that came up during the special session. A lot of what we're going to be referring to today, by the way, Paul Gessing, I mentioned with the Rio Grande Foundation. It's riograndefoundation.org and errorsofenchantment.com. Now, that's the blog space for Paul and where we'll be primarily referring to. Paul, any update you want to share before we jump into a look at the special session bills? Anything about Tipping Point, New Mexico you want to dial our audience into?
Well, the first thing I just want to make sure is that folks are aware that the Rio Grande Foundation is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year on November the 8th. We were co-founded in the year 2000 by the only Republican Attorney General to have served in either of our lifetimes, probably either of our lifetimes if you combine the age of both of us together. It's been a long time. Hal Stratton was the Attorney General I'm referring to. He co-founded the Rio Grande Foundation in the year 2000 with an economist named Harry Messenheimer, who had quasi-retired to the Tijeras area. And I did not take over until 2006, so people often say that I founded it. I did not, but I have been there for almost 20 years now, and we are celebrating, 25 years of efforts to bring free markets and limited government to folks in the state of New Mexico. So you can find out more. Go to riograndefoundation.org. We're calling it the gala or the laissez-faire soiree. And Grover Norquist will be our keynote speaker. We'll have dinner, drinks, dancing, all the makings of a really good time.
All right, and real quick, if folks are trying to catch up with what you're covering, not only on ArizonaEnchantment.com, but TippingPointNM.com?
TippingPointNM.com, yes. Yeah. That's our podcast, and you can subscribe to that through Apple, Stitcher, all the various podcasting sites, but you can go to TippingPointNM.com and just press a button and start the latest episode of Tipping Point New Mexico.
All right, so here's my question to start off, Paul. How special a session was it, and how special were these bills?
Well, it depends on your definition of special, but I would say that it was not particularly special in a positive way, because New Mexico does face a number of critical issues right now, and these are issues that the legislature could and should be addressing in its policymaking. Of course, we just had a 60-day session, so they had ample time back in January, February, and March to deal with these issues, as did the governor, to encourage them to do something about these issues. And I'm referring primarily to the healthcare provider shortage, as well as the road situation, the condition of our roads here in the state of New Mexico. Our roads have deteriorated markedly. The state is not funding them at adequate levels, despite having ample resources to do so. And the governor essentially said, yeah, we're not going to take on that issue during the special session. She also said the same thing about the medical provider shortage, which is in many ways also a critical issue. And she specifically said that she wouldn't put that on the agenda because she couldn't get support for reforms from the trial attorney wing of her party. That includes Majority Leader Peter Wirth, Joe Cervantes, a trial attorney from Las Cruces, and others. And it's really disappointing, because anybody and everybody in New Mexico can say with authority that we have both serious issues on the roads and with our medical providers. Instead, what did they do? They spent money mostly counteracting aspects of the big, beautiful bill. There's a little bit of complexity here in one area, which is the Obamacare subsidies, which are also related to why we're seeing a shutdown in Washington, D.C. So Obamacare has been the law of the land for 15 years now. It's hard to believe that's the case. That law, which is also known as the Affordable Care Act, did nothing to actually address affordability in health care. What it did is distributed subsidies in the form of Medicaid expansion and creating these exchanges, which are an avenue for health care policies to be bought, but with heavy, heavy subsidies for people at higher income levels who can't qualify for Medicaid. Well, fast forward to the COVID pandemic. Joe Biden says we're going to expand that, move those subsidies up for even higher income levels. And we are going to do that for a temporary basis because of COVID and the pandemic. And that is what the debate in Washington is over, whether the Democrats can convince the Republicans to revisit the Big Beautiful Bill and go ahead and reinstate these subsidies, which comprise 80 to 90%, 95% in some cases, of the cost of insurance plans for these higher income New Mexicans. In New Mexico, well, Americans, in New Mexico, however, they spent $17 million, $18 million to reinstate those subsidies already. So we're going to use our own tax dollars in New Mexico. We also re-expanded SNAP or food stamps, additional funds to rural hospitals, even though most of those cuts really don't take effect for over a year. So it's a lot of complicated issues, but basically they wanted to spend some money. They got the chance to spend some money, and they're going to spend some money.
Yeah, and other things people may have seen, the appropriation, $5.6 million to NPR and PBS from the New Mexico taxpayer, with an additional $430,000 for tribal and Pueblo public TV radio. And, you know, as you may well know, this nonprofit radio station does not take money from the government, state, local, municipal, county, federal. We are supported by listeners like you. And there's a good reason we choose, you know, we don't ask, we don't go that route, primarily because could you imagine if any of those governments had any say in the content that we provide to you on a daily basis. So with that in mind, is talking about supporting, you know, local nonprofit radio. Well, this is one you might consider. Go to klyt.fm. And, you know, I don't often go there. I also want to remind you, Rio Grande Foundation, Paul mentioned the fundraiser coming up, a celebration of the anniversary. Their websites will have a place for you to support the work they're doing as well at riograndefoundation.org. But yeah, plenty of our money being distributed. I did want to ask you something real quick, Paul, as you went through that. So in a special session that I guess only the governor can call, is that right?
The governor calls it. Yes, there is something called an extraordinary session, and that.
So the content of it is unilaterally decided by the governor.
Yes.
Okay. And does that differ from the annual session?
It does from the 60-day, which is called kind of the open session that we just had.
Yeah.
It is similar to the 30-day session, and I should note, Steve, that especially for your listeners. One of the components of the Big Beautiful Bill was the pulling back of taxpayer dollars for Planned Parenthood and funding abortion, and that was among the efforts that were undertaken by the legislature and governor. They essentially added back $3 million of our tax dollars to cover up that particular gap.
All right. This is why it's important for you to be active in the public square. There's someone in the roundhouse who is supposedly representing you, and soon we'll have a municipal election here in Albuquerque and in other municipalities around the state. We would encourage you to be registered to vote and plan to vote the first Tuesday in November. And in preparation for that, on our homepage at klyt.fm, you will find in the Action Center a couple of different voter guides, one put together by iVoter Guide and the other by the New Mexico Business Coalition. And Paul, you and I haven't talked. If you guys are doing a voter guide, we'd be happy to take a look and see if we can make that available to the listener.
Well, we specifically target certain issues. We're unable, due to our 501c3 status, to specifically support any candidate. We will, if you want to get into the local election at this point, there are five what I call reasonable candidates up for mayor. There are two who are very progressive. Current Mayor Tim Keller, going for his third term, is one of them. Alexander Ubaez, a former U.S. attorney under Joe Biden, is the second. Then there's five candidates who are I would call them common sense. Darren White, Eddie Varela. Well, actually, Daniel Chavez dropped out. So there's really four, but Chavez wasn't getting much traction. Luis Sanchez, current city councilor, former APD cop, and then Mayling Armijo, economic development person from across the city of different governing agencies. So we expect, as everybody does, that there will be a runoff. And so I do recommend that folks listening to my voice who live in Albuquerque vote with the understanding that chances are very good that it will be Tim Keller and somebody else in that runoff election, which will be held in early December. And, I am of the opinion that I'll vote for any of the other four besides Tim Keller, except for Ubaez, which would be a total disaster if you had two progressives running against each other for mayor. And then it is worth noting you have city council races. There's some very important races there. One of them is to replace Luis Sanchez on the west side in District 1, what happens to be my district. Dan Lewis is running for election. He's been the conservative standard bearer on city council for a long time. Rene Grout, another more reasonable conservative voice. And then there's some bonds and the usual kinds of government spending programs that are also on the agenda for this election.
And actually, one of those bonds we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the show. Mm-hmm. We're up against a break. We're spending a full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. It's riograndefoundation.org, errorsofenchantment.com. And again, to help better make a decision on how you want to vote in the upcoming election, here in the Albuquerque area, at any rate, those voter guides are found at klyt.fm in the Action Center. We're going to take a break and come back with more after this on ABQ Connect. All right. We're in the midst of a conversation today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. And Paul, as always, not only appreciate your time, you regularly find yourself on our calendar each month. And I greatly appreciate you taking the time each month to walk us through, what's pressing at the time in the landscape of things related to liberty and such when it comes to the reports that you provide on errors of enchantment. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Happy to do it.
All right. I mentioned in our last break, you had mentioned, Paul, that there'll be bonds, I'm sure, on the ballot, one of which you took some time to write about in regards to Albuquerque Public Schools.
Yeah. APS, the local school district, is looking for a $350 million bond on this ballot here that early voting's already begun for. And there's a lot of reasons why we have concerns about this. Now, first and foremost, it is worth noting that a bond tends to be for some kind of infrastructure or physical improvement. And that's critical because we're already spending over $35,000 per student, and I believe that a big driver of that is an overinvestment in infrastructure and buildings. How is that possible? Well, partially it's driven by the fact that APS is hemorrhaging students. By hemorrhaging, I mean that there has been a 20,000 student drop over the last decade. That's about a 25% decline in the student population at APS over 10 years.
How do you know how that relates to the population of the city proportionally?
Well, the population of the city and the county are pretty steady. There's not a huge uptick and not a huge downtick. Now, we could get into the number of children in the city and the state, and that has definitely dropped statewide. We're the second biggest loser of children 2020 to 2024 in the entire country as a state. And that's part of the equation why we're seeing a decline in the young people. I would focus on COVID and the governor's policies that lock kids out of school. A lot of families said, well, we're getting out of here. This place doesn't care about your children. We're talking about birth rates declining in general, the lack of a value assigned to human life, especially human life in the earliest stages of that. And New Mexico's very aggressively pro-abortion stances by its politicians. And, of course, the usual basic economic policies, crime issues, all the things that we struggle with as a community and as a state. So the upshot is this situation isn't going to turn around. You know, birth rates, they are a long-term proposition in terms of their growth and their decline. And we are not seeing anything on the horizon that would cause New Mexico or Albuquerque's birth rate to suddenly increase. In fact, we expect, and everybody expects, the population of young people in New Mexico and in Albuquerque to continue its steady decline. I would also throw out school choice as another reason. You know, people are either having their kids stay and do homeschool, or they're searching for other education options. Anyway, there's so many reasons it's hard to get to. But the fact is that whether you agree or disagree with what's contained in the bond measure, and we don't really have a strong opposition to everything in it, but the fact is that when you're declining by 25% in 10 years,
yeah,
you have a lot of empty spaces, and you have a lot of buildings that are underutilized, half utilized, and you don't need to, you shouldn't need to maintain those. You shouldn't need to keep every single school, whether it's high school, elementary school, or middle school, open, because that costs a lot of money. And of course, the only political kind of reason, or the district leadership that will, you know, the reason that they will react to this is because voters say, no, you're not going to get this money. If you give them the money, then they continue doing the same exact thing they've always done, and they don't reallocate limited resources because they don't have any limits on their resources.
Yeah, and you know, I may be wrong. I don't. There's no scientific. You know, there's. I didn't do any research for what I'm about to say, but I think it's pretty typical for the voter, and not just in Albuquerque or in New Mexico, that goes into a voting booth and sees a bond and in this case, it's for APS, but you know, for the library, for other they may be great causes. They sound like good causes, but I personally would lean towards voting no on something like this. This is my own personal, I'm not speaking for anyone but myself. And I'm glad, Paul, that you brought in the fact, I wasn't aware of that, the decline in children and the students, as you mentioned, hemorrhaging, APS hemorrhaging students. At any rate, we've talked on this show plenty about the state of education in New Mexico in general, and it's not like APS is a shining example of how to do it well. I believe if you're going to look at a large metro area that's maybe has better numbers, then look up the hill to Rio Rancho, if my memory serves me correct. But it's akin to giving them $350 million? I mean, that's akin to, you know, say you got a kid that you're giving money to and watching how they use it and put it to work, and is it effective? Are they using it effectively? As you mentioned, Paul, over $35,000 a student, and that is what, is somewhere in the middle of the road nationwide?
Well, $35,000, if you look at other school districts and you calculate things the same way, that is on the high end for sure.
Yeah. We've said it before, throwing more money at whatever does, and I understand this may be for infrastructure, but as you mentioned, Paul, if there's fewer students, then why are we building? Mm-hmm. There's got to be a better way to manage what we have with what we have. But at any rate, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Paul Getzing. He's president of the Rio Grande Foundation, riograndeorg. And Let's actually cover one of these other stories, Paul, before we go to a break. You had a chance recently to sit down with KOAT and talk about the rail trail funding. This one escaped me somehow. This is the first I've even heard of this project.
Oh, boy. Well, this is a city project that I think highlights the kind of inept approach to governance from the current administration. And I think the Trump administration is spot on when they decided to cut $11.5 million in federal funds for this extraordinarily overpriced rail trail. There's so many reasons why this rail trail is unnecessary. First and foremost, it's absolutely crazily expensive. It's up to $90 million.
And what exactly is it? Is it a walking trail, a bike trail? Where does rail come into this?
Oh, so one of the ways that we have seen the development of a lot of bike paths across this country is because right-of-way is always a challenge. When you're building anything infrastructure-related, there's always homes and property rights and all kinds of stuff that are there. This goes from downtown to the Sawmill area. It's a seven-mile trail proposed, actually under construction, and it is based on a rail spur that used to serve the sawmill over there, and thus the right-of-way is not an issue. You pull up the railroad tracks, which aren't being used anymore, and you build a bike path.
So gotcha.
One of the major expenses for this project has already obviously been taken care of, but it's extraordinarily expensive because even the high end of bike path development in most places, you could Google this kind of thing and find out, you know, what is a bike path cost to build? Well, about $1 million a mile is at the high end, but we're spending $10 million plus a mile. And there's a rendering with a big ball, a globe. There's all kinds of little gateways and stuff over this project.
No accusation, but I mean, I see that and I'm like, where's this money going?
Yeah. Well, where's it going and why is it being used for this kind of extremely small and niche project that ultimately people are concerned that if we don't start addressing our homeless and crime problems, you know, that's not going to be a used trail, a benefit for the city and for people to go ahead and, you know, benefit from. And of course, I look at why is Washington, D.C., which suffers under a massive debt burden for a variety of reasons, and $11.5 million for a canceled bike trail is not going to make much of a dent, but why is the federal government subsidizing bike trails in Albuquerque, New Mexico? There is no benefit across state lines. It is simply a trail for the benefit of Albuquerque at best, maybe New Mexico, but those dollars should be coming from preferably just Albuquerque. Not even the state should be involved in this. But pulling back the $11.5 million that was allocated under the Biden administration, very much in line with what I think should happen. Personally, I think a bike trail is fine, but it should be closer to $1 million a mile, which would net out to somewhere on the order of a $7 or $8 million bike trail, not a $90 million bike trail. That's ludicrous and a boondoggle.
All right. Well, listen, we're up against a break. We're visiting with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. And we're talking about watching the federal government put money towards a trail. But, you know, there's a trail that our cars go on called roads. And when we come back, Paul, we're going to talk about the need to really maybe put a little more focus in that area. That's when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. We'd encourage you to go to that website, riograndefoundation.org. We're covering some of the blogs that Paul has contributed to, created on the errorsofenchantment.com website. And going into the break, We mentioned talking about roads, and Paul, I know from time spent with you, this is a hot button for you. You travel the state plenty and are well acquainted with what you find, and when there's issues in regards to the neglect of the roads becoming better. We find a piece like this, which I'm looking forward to hearing details about this, and then another related story.
Yeah. So this is an issue that's come up relatively recently. And why am I so passionate about it? Well, because my vision of government is that government's supposed to do a very small number of things and really focus on doing those as best as it can. Government does not do many things well. And I would say that roads and basic infrastructure is one of many that they do not perform well, but there are very limited options available for doing roads in a private sector. So we're kind of stuck with government to an extent. And there's been a huge problem brewing on our roads because the government, the state of New Mexico that maintains them, has really done a poor job for a lot of reasons. And I highlight a few in a blog post and an article. The article ran in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. First and foremost, drivers in New Mexico are paying an average of over $2,000 annually for vehicle maintenance, congestion, and safety costs because of our inadequate roads. We have a lot of money that could be used to repair our roads, but it's not. In fact, funding for road construction has been slashed from $300 million annually to closer to $65 million in the last legislative session. And you wonder, this is a state that's awash in money. We have $64 billion in our permanent fund. We've had budget surpluses for years. And we also have $7.2 billion in unspent capital outlay money. Why can't we use some of those dollars for roads? This, you know, instead of abortion clinics or Planned Parenthood or all these kinds of welfare programs that our governor is getting behind. Of course, electric vehicles do not pay for road maintenance. That's a simple fix. In fact, Democrats in the legislature have put forth bills, and they've never managed to get through the process to the governor's desk.
Internal combustion vehicles do?
You pay the gas tax.
Okay. Right. Okay. And electric. The truth is, and we've talked about this in other programs, the electric vehicles are heavier and may do more damage to the roads.
True.
Than,
right. Yeah. Yes. There's a number of other factors, though. And I mean, that's just a basic fairness concern.
Yeah.
But we have a Davis-Bacon construction law in the books that increases the wage scale for public works projects unnecessarily. That's a problem. And then there's ways to tax gasoline in the state of New Mexico that could take in gas that is sold on tribal reservations and tribal lands, because tribes do not collect and remit gas tax to the state of New Mexico. Now, I mentioned $200 to $300 million annually, and the roads were deteriorating. So what do? They cut it to $65 million. Well, according to people in the know who are contractors and folks who are involved in this industry, a gentleman named Danny Marquez of Algodones-based construction firm CA2 Testing, he said that the funding deficit puts 61,000 construction and maintenance jobs at risk statewide. He was quoted in the Albuquerque Journal as saying, it's not just the highway contractors, it's the heavy equipment and all equipment supply company suppliers, subcontractors, surveyors, testing labs, etc. So this is a real issue for New Mexico's economy. And I titled a blog post about it, Complete Incompetence in Santa Fe, Roads Edition, 61,000 New Mexico jobs at stake. And it's just, it's mind-blowing. We have the resources available in New Mexico to take care of this problem from numerous sources. I would prefer if we enacted some nice reforms like the EV fee that should be charged, the $7.2 billion sitting on the sidelines in capital outlay, normally for pet projects for legislators. I think roads need to be used. You know, you could split that money off and take half of it and go with roads. That's $3.6 billion to the roads. And there's a lot of reasons for us to change direction here and do something better. But that all starts, as we always say, every single show, with people voting differently. And yeah, we don't have a state election until November of next year. We have primaries in June of next year. Currently, I think it's safe to say that the governor and the legislature do not care about the condition of roads, the most basic form of infrastructure we have in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, I'm asking the wrong person, but why not?
Why? You got me. It really doesn't make any sense to me because a lot of times I look at it and say, well, there's a special interest reason or some kind of choke points around why we're not doing this. This is absolutely the most senseless and asinine thing for us because, you know, I try to look through every issue from that of the people on the other side. And I think, well, the governor can take credit for doing the roads. She always is putting up signs that this is paid for by Michelle Lujan Grisham, even though it's not her money, it's the taxpayers' dollars. But she can say, you know, we're going to have good roads in the state of New Mexico. The legislature should be in the same boat. And it's not like this money just flees and flies out of New Mexico. These dollars are spent in trades and jobs that pay good money for people to build and rebuild these projects. And it's just mind-blowing that the powers that be in the state of New Mexico aren't interested in getting our roads at least back to basic standards.
All right. Listen, if you just tuned in, full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. We have another segment wrap up our conversation today. And Paul, you could probably tease these next couple of topics better than I can. For those listening, we want them to stick around. Give them a reason to stay tuned.
Absolutely. Well, we are talking about the trial attorneys and medical health care compacts and other issues facing our state right now, and nuclear energy as well, in the recent developments with things in that sector.
And we've talked often about the shortage of medical providers.
Absolutely.
That's a topic that you covered, and actually sharing information on errors of enchantment. We're going to get to all of that before the top of the hour. Full hour with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. Go to riograndefoundation.org. And actually, Paul, real quick, before we go to a break, you mentioned it earlier in the show, the details about your upcoming anniversary celebration.
Yeah, November 8th in the evening. I believe it's 6:30 is the start time, and it will be right here in the city of Albuquerque. Grover Norquist, head of Americans for Tax Reform, nationally recognized taxpayer advocate, will be coming to say a few words, and we'll mostly enjoy dinner and dancing and just celebrate 25 years of the Rio Grande Foundation pushing for free market ideas, limited government, and trying desperately to reform a state that has the most potential in America using basic principles of economics and good public policy.
All right. We'll jump into those topics Paul mentioned when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. I mentioned earlier in the hour, if you're planning on going to the Bloom Fiesta for tonight's events or Friday or events as they put a close to the event this weekend, before you go down to the field, plan your trip. Go to klyt.fm in the Action Center there. You will find on the carousel the balloons. Click on the balloons. It'll take you to their website, which is balloonfiesta.com. And there's all kinds of ways to get information. And today being day six And I'll remind you again, we mentioned it earlier in the hour, but later today at 5 o'clock, they'll have skydiving. There's entertainment from the main stage. The Glodio tonight at 6:30, which is a fan favorite with the special shapes. More skydiving after that, a drone light show, and fireworks to follow. So a full evening of events happening at Balloon Fiesta Park. Remember, there's park and ride options available. You know, if you're going to be sitting in traffic, you're not the one having to drive. Let someone else take all of that anxiety and just enjoy the time, maybe with family and friends on the park and ride, which I believe they're at Cottonwood and at Hoffmantown. But you can find all those details again on the website as you plan your visit for the entire trip down to Balloon Fiesta Park. Go to klyt.fm and in the Action Center on the carousel, click on the balloons. You'll find out more there. Paul Gessing, our guest for the remainder of the full hour today and the remainder of the hour. We're going through some blogs he's prepared at errorsofenchantment.com. And health care is a real issue here in New Mexico. We've talked about that with Paul and other guests. And Paul, no exception, you're returning to the topic with the article titled MLG Admits Trial Attorneys in Her Party Will Kill Needed Healthcare Compacts.
Yeah, and that is specifically Senate Majority Leader Peter Wirth and Joe Cervantes, Democrat from southern New Mexico, from Las Cruces area. And these compacts are a simple way that we could access more medical professionals in New Mexico. There's actually a fund set up under the federal government that would contribute $117 million to our state's healthcare system. And it looks like we're going to miss out on those dollars because they were contingent on having something in place before the 30-day session kicks off in January. And it's just the trial attorneys who control New Mexico's Democratic Party are not interested in addressing even the most basic aspects of the medical provider shortage. So a compact would allow people who might be a registered doctor or, you know, medical professional in another field, psychiatrist, all kinds of stuff. The one we're in is nursing. Everything else we're not in. There's compacts for all the various medical professions. And the idea is that if you move from a state, say Georgia or Washington State or Iowa, you can move to New Mexico and stay within this compact and continue practicing. And I didn't realize this, but I understand that this whole kind of impetus came out of the DOD, U.S. Department of Defense, wanted the spouses of military members to be able to continue practicing in their field and doing their work when their spouse was moved from one place to the other. And that makes, you know, we have a large military population in New Mexico, so we're a state where that could make a real difference. And yet our politicians, because of their fealty to the trial attorneys, are not willing to embrace the compacts or broader medical malpractice reform, which would really kind of solidify New Mexico and stop this issue from limiting our medical providers. Unfortunately, the special session, the governor backed off. She was not going to have anything that would upset her precious trial attorney friends in the legislature. And she says we're going to discuss a lot of these issues in the 30-day session in January. This will be a 30-day session coming in January. And I think it is going to be action-packed and very, very busy if we are going to discuss everything that the governor claims that we're going to be discussing. And that includes roads, that includes compacts and medical malpractice more broadly, the medical provider shortage also more broadly. Are we going to bring back pre-K, the sick leave and paid sick leave, are we going to, you know, the governor's going to want to pass her new child care entitlement? So those are right there, five or six major policy issues, along with all the other, you know, frou-frou stuff, so to speak, that they constantly discuss up in the legislature. So I think it should have been done last session, two sessions ago. We should have been doing this before it became a crisis, and it just is unbelievable. We elect these people, they go to Santa Fe, and then they do things that are for the best interests of their political donors, not the best interest of New Mexicans. And yet, unfortunately, too many New Mexicans keep these people in elected office, and the legislature is not just figuratively, but literally killing New Mexicans, both on our roads and in the form of a lack of medical providers. And it's got to change.
Yeah, well, pray for change. And I know we encourage people to be active and being a part of the process by being registered to vote and making sure that you vote in the, you know, every election here when you have opportunity. So we'd encourage you, obviously, to keep doing that. Paul, with the limited amount of time we have left, maybe a minute or two, I wanted to remind our listeners about the various ways to catch up with you and the work that you're doing at there's three different sites, and if you can briefly, as we put a bow on the conversation today, let them know what they'll find at each of these sites.
Yeah, well, RioGrandeFoundation.org is our main flagship website. Among other things, we have tracked the votes at our Freedom Index of what happened during the legislative, the special legislative session that just passed. How did your legislators vote on that? You also have a historical record going back a decade in that area, and a lot of our writings and research are at RioGrandeFoundation.org. Our errorsofenchantment.com site is a more informal blog site. We sometimes have guest columnists that make an appearance, and we put a lot of information out there on a nearly daily basis, or more than daily basis, at errorsofenchantment.com. And many of the issues we talk about on this show are found there. And then Tipping Point New Mexico, you can find out. TippingPointNM.com is our podcast website. We have a regular podcast where you can listen to me and other folks discuss issues facing New Mexico, experts from across the country, etc. You can also find that at Apple, Stitcher, and all your other podcasting software. Tipping Point New Mexico.
All right, Paul, thanks again for all your time. I look forward to having you back in here in the next 30 days.
Thank you.
All right, the voter guides found at klyt.fm in the Action Center. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.